Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as Ruben Amorim admits he's out of options and it's basically survival ball. This big game coming up against Sociedad next Thursday, but a game against Arsenal on Sunday that, if we're being honest, wouldn't be a problem if it did get called off. We don't need this game. We'll talk about that. Also, Mainoo to Chelsea rumours this morning. Is that more of a reality than sensational? Man United need to sell to buy. There is a player that Chelsea would take. Is that on the cards, as well as Garnacho as well? Also, Mateta has been linked to Manchester United this morning. And a few other bits to get into as well the morning after the night before. I want to get your comments in as well. Look, you know what? The first thing I would say is that one thing I think in life, when you get things probably wrong in the heat of the moment, you should apologize or clarify. What I probably didn't pick up on the match reaction last night that was very obvious, almost too obvious to mention because I didn't mention it, was that we clearly tired massively in the last 20 minutes. And I do still hold the opinion that you can't say we didn't bottle it, it was tiredness. The penalty changed the game. Before the penalty, we were on the front foot. They scored the penalty, they were on the front foot. So whilst I think tiredness has to kick in and did kick in, I also think that we have this tendency to mentally drop off. Look, we all know it's easier to be tired when you're mentally down. If things are going well, you don't feel as tired, do you? And I think we saw that yesterday. I also want to shout out the fact that Garnacho got taken off yesterday. Amorim clarified why he took him off, because he felt that he wasn't fit. He was getting tired. He wasn't doing the defensive work required. So Garnacho walking off moody is fine, absolutely fine. People trying to make something out of it, that's always going to happen. But what are you going to do when you get the clarity from the manager that it was a tactical decision because he felt Garnacho was too tired to do the defensive work? I would say, at the end of the day, if Garnacho's got a problem with it, it's good, but you're not the boss, mate. The boss is the boss, and he said why. So, end of the day, you're not right. If you want to be a manager, do your badges, go and manage somebody. You're a player, and as a player, it doesn't always go your way. The manager took you off because he felt you weren't doing the defensive work. That's his prerogative. That's his job. That's why he's the manager of Man United. That's why you're a player trying to be a Manchester United player. So I think we need to move on from that because there is so much nonsense that gets put out there. So let's have a look at what Amorim said after the game. He said, look, the key right now will be surviving physically for Sunday against Arsenal and to be ready and fresh for Thursday. Look, I saw a lot of people talking about the fact that Zubimendi wasn't playing for Sociedad last night. Can I just give you a list of players? No Martinez, no Ugarte, no Mainoo, no Ahmad. Those four players start for Manchester United. Ugarte, Martinez, Mainoo and Ahmad. Three of them definitely do. I think four of them do. So, yes, they're missing Zubimendi. We're missing nearly half a team. We also didn't replace Rashford and Antony that would give us more options from the bench. I think it's absolutely appalling. And we know we've got the protests and we know there's a lot of people very unhappy about a multitude of things and there's more sackings apparently going on at Man United. But we have to focus in on the fact that Manchester United Football Club is a massive institution with a massive fan base and we are a big football club. And the embarrassment that's being showered on us at the moment is ridiculous. I was embarrassed last night as a Man United fan to look at our bench and see only two senior players in Lindelof and Eriksen. Neither of them are attackers. That is absolutely embarrassing. In a game of that magnitude, where we need to win this tournament, we're basically saying we can't sub off our attackers because we don't have any. It's disgusting. It's absolutely embarrassing. And I know the ticket rises are bad, and I know the stadium is bad, and I know the sackings are bad, and I know the debt is bad. But fundamentally, when you look at that game yesterday, that Becker who came on for Sociedad is a bag of shit, really. He looked like bloody Mbappe because he was quick, he was energetic, and he was direct. And that's why he's on the bench for 20 minutes. He comes on and he does that. We've got Eriksen coming on the right wing. It's embarrassing. And why is it? Why has that happened to Manchester United? If people can't see the reality of the situation staring them in the face at the moment, it is this. They are running that football club into the ground. They are cutting so deep that you can see the bone. And Manchester United are in big, big trouble. The January transfer window was an opportunity to bring a couple of loan players in, like Villa have done, like other clubs have done, and strengthen the bench. We don't have any options on that bench at all. It is absolutely disgusting that we are in this last chance saloon where we're trying to win games and we don't have anything on the bench. Now, that's problematic enough when you've got players on the bench that aren't fit. So when you've got players in the first team that aren't playing well, but there's also something called fatigue. And I look at that last 20 minutes and I look at the Premier League and I look at the demand and the increase in games and international football. There's games all the time. Everybody knows, from Pep Guardiola to Carlo Ancelotti, that in the last 20 minutes of a game, even Jurgen Klopp used to do it with Salah, Ange does it with Son. You don't keep your best player on for 90 minutes. You do sometimes, but it literally is. You can have Mo Salah, who's tired, on best player on the pitch. Mo Salah can be the best player on the pitch. But at 70 minutes, he might be tired and you might be better off bringing Harvey Elliott on for 20 minutes because you'll get more out of it. We're literally putting players on the pitch and going, run yourself into the ground. We haven't got anybody else. Extra time and penalties last week as well, Shane. This is 100% on Ineos and the Glazers. To not do anything in January is killing us now. And also, let's not forget, we let Rashford and Antony go and didn't replace them. So I would hold that thought before we move on, and for the rest of the weekend and for the rest of this season. The situation that we are in is totally and utterly preventable. To be in that position yesterday where you've got nothing on the bench is disgusting at this level. I was looking at Sociedad. I was looking at Fulham last week, bringing on people like Smith Rowe. Why am I envious of Sociedad's bench and Fulham's bench? And Brighton's bench. Well, Manchester United, it's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And it needs calling out. And I don't mind if the manager is David Moyes or Ruben Amorim. If you haven't got a bench at this level, you are done. Absolutely done. And that was the problem. And that leads into what Amorim's saying about survival on Sunday. What do you do? What do you do for the game on Sunday? I want to know what you would do. Personally, I don't want anyone to play a minute. And this is controversial, but you can't pick the kids. I don't think we've even got 11 kids who could play. And if you did play the kids, we might get beat 15-0. So you can't do that. People saying play the kids, like Annie. I agree with you. But if you do it, the reality is they'll get beat 15-0. And that's just burning a load of kids and probably getting a record loss against Arsenal. So you can't do that. So therefore, you've got to pick the likes of Mazraoui and Bruno and Xerxes and maybe Garnacho and Dalot. You've got to pick these players who are going to then be impacted for the game on Thursday. The best scenario is this game not being played. But obviously, that's not going to happen because it's a Premier League game. But we don't need this game. Like, we absolutely need the rest. We've got an injury crisis. Agate and Maguire may not be back, and you can't play them anyway. So there's nobody coming back for the game on Sunday. It's just absolutely the worst scenario possible to have a game on Sunday when we absolutely need to win on Thursday. And the Premier League doesn't mean anything either, does it? So look, I'd love the game not to happen, but that's not going to happen, is it? Just the reality of the situation, I just want to say, I actually think my big frustration last night was that we should have won the game. My big frustration was that we didn't win the game and we should have won the game. And we've put ourselves back in a position where it's a draw and anything can happen in the next leg. We should have been coming out of that game with a 1-goal lead or 2-goal lead. So I'm frustrated. I'm still frustrated. That, as I said, some people don't agree with me on this. Amorim coached a win last night. The players masterminded a draw. Now, you can also put into that maybe fatigue, but for me, Amorim coached a win last night. And also, can we just get a moment for our... this is next to me. Danny, lead singer from The Script, messaged me last night, 100%, he's at the show in Dublin. So can't wait for that. Lead singer of The Script, big Man United fan from Dublin, will be at the Dublin show. I'm putting the show together. I'm going to have to cut stuff out. There's too much. We've got a brilliant live interactive quiz where you can win real cash. Danny from The Script. Beth and Ricky are going to do a section as well. Obviously, I'm on there. So It's going to be an amazing 10-year anniversary show. If it's international break, if you're feeling a bit fed up and you want something positive, get your tickets while you can. I don't know how many we've got left, but I know we've gone past 1,000 and it's 1,200. So it's going to be a great venue. It's going to be a great night. Links in the live chat, links in the description. Get your tickets. What a stellar lineup, and can't wait to see you there. That's going to be fantastic. Thank you very much. No, there was something else I was going to say and I've completely forgotten. Oh yeah. Can we get talking about fans outside of the UK? Buddy, you just got yourself blocked. I don't know why you're on a United Stan chat, but I suppose it's freedom of speech, isn't it? See you later. Can we just get a moment of reflection and sympathy for American audiences? Not only do you have to listen to people like Steve Nichol and Craig Burley and some of the crap football analysis you've got over there. I got sent a clip from Grant this morning, who sent me a clip from the CBS coverage before the game last night. This is what you're getting as your analysis in the United States. So before the game yesterday, I don't know who the name of the commentator was, but he was basically saying that I've seen enough of Manchester United. The three at the back is not working. He needs to go back to playing the system that the players want to play. I mean, this sort of stuff is becoming so repetitive and so boring, but we need to keep calling it out. That is the standard of the audience. That's the big growth audience in football at the moment, and they are getting that level of analysis. If you're not watching the United Stand and you're not from the United States and you're from the United States, you are missing out on so much growth intellectually about football, because if you're listening to that nonsense, you are basically never going to be a decent football fan. Three at the back is not working. Right. What, for the millionth time, what are these morons talking about? This manager plays 3-4-3. We recruited him. He has to stick to that because that's what he does. But we were shit with a back four before he even came here. And actually, it's very clearly the manager is sending a team out that can win games, but the players are drawing or losing them. So going to a back four is not going to make Delow play a simple pass, is it? It's not going to stop us hitting loads of long balls. This formation and system thing is absolutely ridiculous. It's so, so stupid. Was there anything wrong with the formation last night? Did the formation last night cost us the win against Sociedad? Or did individual players making silly mistakes and, you know, weak mentality? Be very, very careful of these system and formation chats, because it's the media, as per usual, trying to spin you to put pressure on your manager so they can sell papers and get more clicks. It's the cycle. The Glazers may have a cycle, but the media has a cycle. And the media cycle is, oh, shiny new toy, shiny new toy. Can we have an interview? Oh, look at what, oh, you are brilliant, you're brilliant. Oh, you're brilliant, you're brilliant. You're like a new puppy. Oh, I love you. Let's go for a walk. You're brilliant. 6 months later, not a puppy anymore. Oh, you're a waste of time. You're a waste of time. Look at you. Look at you. What do you do? All you do is bloody piss and shit and eat. Rubbish. Rubbish. I've seen a new puppy I want now. That's the media cycle. So all this tactic and change the system and stuff, it's nothing. There's no substance to it. In an interpretation, what Amrim needs to change his system means is, we're already tired of Amrim. Let's start the Amrim out movement to get somebody else in. That's all the media are doing. Their whole formation and system thing. And God, I'm happy to do this. CBS, TNT, BBC, anybody, get me on with one of these prats that you employ about system and I will sit them down. Easily. Easily. So there's your challenge. I keep saying it. I'm very busy. I don't even like mainstream media. But look, if you actually want a bit of good content, get me on with one of these morons talking about changing the system or the formation, and we'll have a proper chat about Manchester United. Because going to a back four is not going to help this team. We've got one winger in Garnacho. You need two in a 4-3-3. Our strongest area is centre-back, and you're going to take us from 3 to 2. We haven't got a midfield to play a midfield three. We've got one striker. We haven't got the system to play a 4-3-3. The 3-4-3 suits the players that we have as well. And our manager plays a 3-4-3. And actually, it's not the system that's costing us games. It's individual errors. It's as simple as that. Thank you very much for that, Grant. Anyway, so look, let's move the show on a little bit here. I think that, look, I saw this morning, actually, a bit of news. Don't get excited. We've been linked to Mateta. Mateta of Crystal Palace. We've been linked to him. And I'm sure a lot of you would like to take Mateta from Crystal Palace. The bad news is it's in the Sun. And the ironic thing is the Sun, obviously, if you're going to call yourself the Sun is hot, hotter than the Sun. When it comes to football news, the Sun is colder than a roadkill. So I don't for one minute profess that this Mateta story is true because of where it's coming from. However, it does pose a interesting question because obviously criticism of Rasmus has been valid over the last few weeks, and he's not been getting good scores in the player ratings from me or you, and he's not scoring goals, and that's absolutely correct. But I do also sympathise with Ruben Amorim. Obviously, I sympathise with any Man United striker, but I do sympathise with Ruben Amorim because I saw it last night somewhere. Man United, I think it was on our TikTok chat, and they were like, Man United need a striker. And I'm like, you know, isn't football so great? It's so universal. Everybody can have an opinion and feel like they're intelligent. And that's the great thing about football. And I'd never want that to go away. But I'm like, Man United need a striker. Man United need a top-class striker. At what point do you watch the game yesterday and go, if we put Erling Haaland up front or Lewandowski up front, we would have won that game 4-0? The striker's not going to stop Bruno's handball. And the striker's not going to suddenly make Dalot make the pass. Like, whether you like it or not, whoever the striker is last night, you're struggling. I don't think Rasmus had a shot on goal. Now, people would talk about movement, etc. And there was a couple of crosses where you could maybe have moved better. But the bottom line is, time and time again, we see the Dalot situation. And the cross doesn't go in, or the pass doesn't go in. And this is something that has infected this team for a long time. And it's something that Amorim's been speaking about more and more and more. The low IQ of these players is astounding. It's terrifying how many times over the last few years we see a player hit the edge of the box, head down shot. You know, that is so hard to change because it's like me saying to you, you wake up in the morning, you go into the bathroom, you pick the toothpaste up with your left hand and you brush your teeth with the right hand. You're just so used to doing it. And if I said to you, for the next 10 days, you've got to do it left-handed toothbrush, right-hand toothpaste, you probably do it. But it's so built into you, it's not going to feel right. And eventually, you're going to go back to what you were doing before. That's Amorim's job. Like, I don't think people understand the severity of the issue at Man United in relation to creativity. We even delay in the final third sometimes because they're almost thinking, I want to shoot. Oh yeah, I've been told to pass. So there's so many opportunities we're missing out on because we don't have the right player profile in the final third. We're so locked in to shooting or hitting a long ball. And it's going to take a long time for that to change. So look, whether we go for Mateta, whether we go for Gyökeres, whether we go for Osimhen, we definitely need another striker at Manchester United. Categorically, yes, and ideally for me, an experienced one. But let's not kid ourselves that this is going to suddenly make us score another 30, 40 goals. The service is appalling. And I actually think, waking up this morning, that Dalot thing doesn't even make me angry. If anything, the truth will set you free. And the fact that universally everybody saw the simplest of crosses ignored by Dalot, I think that was a moment that symbolises United's last 7 years. That moment caught, not up for interpretation, because sometimes you'll go, Onana should have saved that, and people will go, oh, no, he shouldn't. And there's an argument. There's no argument with that. That is so simple a cross, and so, I mean, look, Rasmus might miss it, but he bloody shouldn't do, but Dalot does his job. To not do it, is terrible. And there was plenty. Look, Gabriel's right. There was plenty of others, plenty of other opportunities over the game last night and other games. This is not new. The amount of times we don't play that right pass. And, you know, I sympathise with Amorim. As I said, he coaches a win and the team's mastermind a loss or a draw. And it's not just the handball from Bruno. Those things can happen. But what people forget is that if Delo makes that pass and we score that chance and then we score the Xerxes chance, we're 2-0 up. They're not coming back from that. So we should have won last night. Hopefully we can build on that because we should beat them next Thursday. Hopefully we will do. But yeah, it's a problem. But I just before I move on to this main news story as well, I do just want to say, is it starting to concern you? Because it's starting to concern me. If you talk about Obi Martin, very exciting young player, of course. You talk about Heaven, exciting young player. We're linked to that Argentinian player. We've brought in Leon, the left back. We've brought in Dorgu as well. We're linked to Quenda. You know, Mainu's still young, Garacho's still young. So we've got all these young players and very exciting. But they're going to take time. They're going to have ups and downs. They're going to have good games. They're going to have bad games. It's going to take a long time for them to become established players, of course. You don't really become established until, you know, unless you're a freak of nature like Jude Bellingham or others. It takes time. So this is this long-term project that Manchester United have got, obviously. But there's a couple of things that concern me. People say play the kids. And he's not using them. And he obviously doesn't think they're ready. Because when you look at the history of Amorim, look at Quenda, he's been playing for Sporting in the Champions League at 17. He's the same age as Obi Martin. He's the same age as Kone. He's the same age as Lasali. He's the same age as Amas. So it's very, very clear when people are saying play the kids. We might be overinflating our kids because he will play a 17-year-old. He's done it. But obviously he's training with them and doesn't feel they're ready for that yet. Now, you don't have to be ready at 17. We've just given Ethan Wheatley a new contract. He's, what, 19, 20? 19, I think. So he's never touched the first team at 19. So you don't have to be ready. Collier is going to be 21 next and he's still not established. So just because you're 17 doesn't mean you have to be ready. But let's not forget, Amorim will play them if they're ready. He's done it. He just doesn't think they're ready yet. So all this play the kids thing needs to stop, really, because he clearly knows more than us. He's the coach. The second thing I would say is, and it worries me more than anything, is that I can trust the coach. I can trust the coach, and I do trust the coach. But I don't trust the owners. And I don't like this whole... Maybe I'm being cynical. Maybe I've got a right to be cynical. But you know that we keep steering away from like Jokeres or Osimhen because it's not part of the Man United plan. I look at it and I go, you know what? I think that the reason they don't want to buy Jokeres or Osimhen isn't because they don't want to buy a 26-year-old. It's preposterous. It's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. And I know The Athletic were on about it the other week. United aren't interested in Jokeres because he'll be 27 in the summer and they want to buy younger players. 27? That's a load of crap. Like, you can't implement a we don't want to buy players who are old and say 27. So I don't believe that for one minute. I think this is a financial thing. I think they're worried about buying players over 25 because statistically you're probably going to pay 60, 70 million pounds for them. And statistically, there's going to be a lot of competition for them. And what I mean by that is, I don't think United don't want Jokeres because he's going to be 27 in the summer. I think they don't want Jokeres because he'd be expensive and they won't be able to do a deal. And what I mean by that is, if we want Jokeres and we win the race for Jokeres because he wants to come to us, we're not going to be able to present a deal to Sporting that's better than what Arsenal would do or Chelsea will do. And what I mean by that is Sporting aren't going to go, you can have him for 60 million at 10 million a year over 5 years or 12 million a year. They're not. They're going to go, we want 40 or 50 up front and we can't do that. I smell the bullshit, basically. I don't think we have a policy of not buying people over 26. I just think we realise that you can't do the deals you do with a youngster where you can go to Monaco, you've got an 18-year-old, we'll give you 40 million, but we'll give you 10 over the next 4 years. I think that's what we're doing. Because my bigger point is that team needs experience. It's crying out for experience. You can't pick a team with 8 20-year-olds and expect to get in the top four. They're going to be inconsistent. They're going to have ups and downs. And inconsistency doesn't put you in the top four. Experience does. And we haven't got enough experience. So I think that, again, it's just another example of this story that just keeps coming out that this is going to take 5 to 10 years. They're not building a team that's capable of getting us into the top four for the next 4 or 5 years. They're building a young, cheap team, and that's the strategy. But no young team is going to get you in the top four without experience, and the experience is lacking massively. But I don't believe we're not buying experience. They're trying to sell it that we're not buying experienced players because, you know, this is a mistake from the past and we don't want to buy people over 25. Experience starts at 25. There's very few players that are 23, 24 who are experienced. There are a few, but they come at a premium. We're doing this for money. Robert McCormack's here with a super chat. He says, I don't always agree with lack of service, but was definitely the case last night. They would not feed him, and he went in on Garnacho and Delo, and rightly so, says Robert McCormack. Look, I don't want to make it about Rasmus because I think he's not playing very well at the moment, but he's all we've got. What I will say is that I don't care if you like Rasmus or you don't, whether you liked Veghorst or you don't. A player refusing to pass to another Man United player needs sacking. Teddy Sheringham and Andy Cole didn't like each other. They still passed to each other. The team comes before everything else. And I saw people on social media last night saying, I don't blame Delo. He doesn't trust Rasmus, so why should he pass to him? And I thought, oh my God, is that not the definition of player FC? What the hell are you talking about? If I'm playing on a pitch, and I've done it plenty of times, if I'm playing in a team, I want to win. And if I'm in Delo's position and the striker's a complete knobhead and I don't like him, why would I expose myself as being a prat by not putting that cross in? I want to win. I put the cross in. If he scores it, the team wins the game. The lack of trust is ridiculous. It's a stupid argument. Who is Delo to not trust Rasmus as well? Mate, you've been shit for 5 months. Who are you to decide you don't trust the striker? Do your fucking job. Do your job. You are a right, attacking right winger. You're in a position under no pressure to put the simplest cross in the world and you decide you don't want to do it because you don't think the striker will score it. Well, fuck a doodle do. Put the fucking cross in and then we'll talk. Do your job. Don't fuck your game up because you think someone else is going to do it. I'm livid by that. I don't think it's a lack of trust. I think it's a lack of intelligence. I also think some people get in the box and they just want to shoot. They see their name. It's a status thing. I don't know. But look, one player you can't knock was Xerxes. Xerxes gets it. Every time he can play a pass, he'll do it. He's not one of those players that looks to shoot all the time. If it's on, it's on. If it's not, I'll pass it. And that, you know. So why is it Xerxes would be happy to cross that to Rasmus, but Delo isn't? You know, why is it that Garnacho sometimes won't pass and shoot and he wants to shoot, but Xerxes would pass or shoot? So I think it's the profile of the player. And look, I did say this back in September and October. People were writing Xerxes off and I said, look, no player who was in their first 6 months should be written off. My only issue with Xerxes was the constant links to Italy, which were clearly his agent. But playing style, etc., you know, shock, horror. Player that's only been here 6 months is getting better and better and better. And also, look, you know, you look at the new signings, Mazraoui, De Ligt, Xerxes, Yoro, all played well last night. Experienced players, not so much. Krishna, gifted 5 memberships, you're a legend. Kieran says, definitely agree with you, hard for our strikers to make consistent runs and play with service being so inconsistent, says Kieran. Look, forget about Rasmus, put Victor Osimhen up front. It's going to drain on you. It's hard work at this level. You're making the runs. At the highest level, you very rarely get a tap in. The minute Delo doesn't make that cross, if I'm that striker, my head's not going to drop because I'm going to try and stay positive. But in my head's going to go, well, that's that then. You won't get a chance like that in the next 3 games. And he won't even fucking pass it. That sort of chance doesn't happen a lot for Man United. and he didn't put the cross in, that's going to be mentally draining for you as well, because you're going to go, look, that never happens. I never get a cross for a six-yard tap-in. Never. And the one time I get it, he doesn't put the cross in. So if you're Victor Osimhen or Lewandowski, that's going to piss you off in a United side, because you know if you're playing for Man City and you're Erling Haaland, you might get another one in 2 minutes' time. But in a United shirt, you might wait another month. So, yeah, it's not good. And it needs calling out, and it has been called out. Do you think we have the pull with no Europe, or will players come for prestige or clubs, as Garfield? We'll talk about this. HP, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you for getting your badge in. Mark Mazrui says, Mark, yesterday you said you're not the world's sexiest man. Let's be real, you're close. I'm straight and I'd do you. Lovely stuff. I've seen butter turn quicker than Harry Maguire, says Big Mac. We love up for a fight, Bridge, says Ardo. And Ray Carl's in the chat. Hope you're doing well. He says, our players don't want to pass the ball to the centre-forward. I saw runs made, but no ball passed. This concerns me with any centre-forward. It's been going on for 7 years, mate. Is there a photo up at the Dublin live show, says David? I think there will be, but I think it will be before the show instead of after the show, David. We will get that confirmed. But we normally do it after the show, but there's like 1,000 people there. So, and the venue shuts at 11 and we'll probably overrun. So we're probably going to try and do it before. That bench should be the biggest red flag to anyone who doesn't think the situation at the club is dire, says Patrick Lynch. This isn't the first time we've had to do that either. Can't believe people blame Amrim. They're just stupid, Patrick. Not like you. United are like a shop going bust. Two items per shelf, says Parker. Sell Mainu to Chelsea and get them to clear the Mount transfer fee as part of the deal, says Keel. And hi, Mark. If Glazers and Ineos go, will we have opt-ins? Yep, I noticed that. Well done. Well done, everybody. Krishna has gifted 500. Abdullah says it's Ramadan. Please don't swear. Then I can't listen. Sorry about that, Abdullah. I know. I know it's Ramadan. But honestly, if I said I'm not going to swear, I'd be lying to you. I can't help it. I can't. Anyway, I'll try my best. Look, let's go back to this main news story that we were talking about. But it fits in with what Garfield said there about the transfer pull of Manchester United. I don't think anybody's under any illusions that this football club is in trouble. But then again, I think some people are. I think some people actually bury their head in the sand and think it's not that bad. If you don't think Man United's financial situation is that bad, then look at the bench last night. I mean, that was totally and utterly preventable in January. We knew this was going to happen. Like, Rashford and Anthony going was correct, but they had to be replaced. We didn't replace them. We have no bench. And people say we've got injuries, but I tell you what, you've got Ahmad injured. That's it. From January, in an attacking sense, it's only Ahmad. Don't talk to me about Mason Mount. If Mason Mount was fit, and if Mason Mount walked into the bloody training ground fit to play, I'd say, are you lost? And he'd go, yeah, I thought it was the canteen. Like, he ain't never going to be fit. So actually, people say the Ahmad injury was impactive, and it was. But even if we had Ahmad, still doesn't give you many options last night, does it? You'd have Ahmad starting and you'd be able to bring Rasmus or Xerxes on. But it's still not. It's one sub for three players. So this was completely and utterly preventable. And it's been caused by the owners. So we already know the financials. This Europa League, I mean, look, how many times? Winning the Europa League gives us £80 million of profit and puts us into the Champions League. We decided not to spend £8 in January to win £80. We chose that. Nobody can feel, we can't feel sorry. We can feel sorry for ourselves as fans, but our owners decided not to take a risk, because they're bad owners. But the evidence is already there. That's my point. We didn't spend money in January to help ourselves win this tournament. And now look at where we are. So when Garfield says, you know, the summer transfer window, do we have the pull and do we have the funds? Well, we know that we might be able to manipulate the funds somehow, but it's going to have to be sell to buy. We haven't got any money. We didn't have any money in January. We're fucked. So essentially, I look at the summer transfer window and I go, well, look, he's got a sell to buy. And okay, Rashford might go for a bit of money. Sancho's going to go for a little bit. But there's not a lot, there's not that much to raise. If we're not in Europe, there's not that much money to raise. In fact, the Rashford fee could easily go on covering off not being in Europe. So I think that we're going to have to sell to buy. Now, I saw this morning, I think it was in Court Offside, that Mainoo Chelsea rumours are back on. Chelsea 100% will go for Mainoo. Fits their profile perfectly. Premier League proven, 19, English, homegrown. 100% Chelsea will want to go for Mainoo, and they may well want Garnacho as well. So I can't sit here anymore. It used to be in mid-March, we'd be talking about getting Griezmann or maybe getting an Ederson this summer or something like that. That's what we used to do. Even though times were shit under the Glazers, we've never been in this position. We'd always be talking about a shiny new toy, what we're going to do. For the first time, I think I'm sat here going, who's going to go? Like, who are we actually going to go that should be realistically should be part of the project, but isn't going to be part of the project? And I think that, and this is just a sign of what Man United is. And this is why the protests on Sunday and everything else is so important, because we've never been in this situation before. It's never been this bad before. And, you know, I know the 58 statement mentioned their initial statement, which they retracted, and TalkSport were on about it. So let me repeat it. They basically said, you know, you've said that this is the worst thing that's happened to the club, or the worst position the club's been in since the Munich tragedy. And look, a lot of people have criticised that, because obviously that was a tragedy. But the Munich 58 is named after 1958. And obviously the Munich tragedy is beyond football. I'm not old enough to know about the relegation season, but certainly in my lifetime, I don't think this football club's been in a worse situation. So we can compare it to the past and people can get emotive about that. But the message is still the same. This football club's never been in a position as bad as this in many of our lifetimes. In a footballing sense, on and off the pitch, we don't need to compare it to other things. The point was, and the point is, and the 58 are right, is that this football club has never been in a position as bad as it is now. And if you'd said that to me 3 years ago, or whenever the Super League thing was going on, I'd have said, you're having a laugh. It can't get worse. It's devastatingly bad. So when I hear stories about Mainoo and Chelsea and Garnacho and Napoli, I think that's far more likely than Gyökeres coming to us. And I think that answers your question, Garfield, about the pull of Manchester United. I don't think it's about the pull of Man United anymore. I think we used to talk about, can we get this Pogba deal done? Can we get Sancho here? And we did do those things under a Glazer ownership. And they weren't necessarily good times. But I don't think we're now talking about signing Jude Bellingham or anything like that. I think we're now talking about how the situation is that, honestly, the most likely thing is that we need to sell to buy. I don't underestimate the severity of the situation that Manchester United are in. And therefore, Mainoo to Chelsea. Why? It sounds incredible, but why not? Why? I don't want it to happen. What I'm saying is, why wouldn't you think it could happen? It's absolutely nailed on. So, look, if you are at the game on Sunday, all the details, we'll get them all out again, of course, over the next 48 hours. There are protests. There are things going on. I think Man United will take it seriously. I think we'll see an increase. I think all the barriers will be up again. I think it's fantastic, because I think that we've never known the club be in this position. It's disgusting, and I don't think it's going to get any better. I really don't think it's going to get any better. They might be able to twist and turn and do a few deals in the summer, but I think we're miles off everybody else. And what I would say about last night is we're very lucky that, if you want to find a positive, we're very lucky that we have an opportunity to get into the Champions League through the back door. Because when you look at the top five in the Premier League, there's going to be far better teams than us that don't get in the Champions League. Only five of them are going to get in. So let's say it's Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea, Newcastle. That means Villa, Bournemouth, Brighton, Forest all miss out. They're all better than us. They're all way better than us. They're just unlucky. They're not playing in a shitty European tournament that you can get in through the back door. Because what I saw last night, Fenerbahce, Rangers, we've played them. They're not that good. Spurs, Sociedad, they're not that good. And I'm not having a go at the Turkish League or La Liga. There are good teams in there, but the Europa League is just a wish version of the Champions League, isn't it? And the fact that we might struggle to win it, I find it incredible, really. But of course, you know, Mourinho, chat shit, get banged. I like Jose, but he did an interview, didn't he, in the last couple of days saying that he knows Sir Jim Radcliffe and what did he say? Sir Jim, I'll find it here. I like Jose, but this is what happens when you chat shit. Let's have a look what he said about Sir Jim Radcliffe. But look, I like Jose, but nobody in my life gets 100% respect and trust. Nobody, especially not in football, because, you know, I think he's a goat of the game, but I ain't going to listen to what he says about Sir Jim Radcliffe, mate. You know, goat of the game or not, you're wrong on this. He said about Sir Jim Radcliffe, always very respectful. Oh, no, that's about Amorim. What did he say about Sir Jim? He said, I've got a good relationship with Sir Jim Radcliffe. To be honest, I don't know much about what's happening around the cuts, but I know him well. He invited me to his house a couple of times. I see him as a good person and a great businessman. I know him. I'm not saying we're big friends, but we have a good relationship. I feel for some of the people that I know losing their jobs, but hopefully it goes in the right direction. A good person and a great businessman. It almost reminds me when about a year before the deal, when Sir Jim Radcliffe and people were saying, Sir Jim, we all want Sir Jim. And then he did an interview saying that the Glazers are good people. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Jose's thinking about coming back, but chat shit, get banged. Rangers beat them 3-1 last night. I like Jose. I don't want him anywhere near Man United, but I don't want to hear anybody saying that Sir Jim Radcliffe's a good person and a great businessman. I think he's right up there with Joel Glazer for me as an absolute stain on the great name of Manchester United. And that's just that's what I think. If you think anything else, that's up to you. Dalot constantly cooks back rather than crossing. Garnacho cuts in and misses mostly, so no crosses from either side. We're so predictable, says Anders. Spot on. James Harper says, who would have thought Arsenal would go 20 years without winning the league after Invincibles? Wenger said the future was bright with young players, but they did nothing. A warning for our model, says James. Everyone tries to be a hero and fails the team. They don't care about the badge, only their name. Why can't they find the best player to score and pass? Low IQ. You know what, Shawnock? It's very simplistic what you've just said there, but it's also very true. We've got too many heroes in our team playing too many hero balls. And a hero ball is, I want to be the hero. So you get the ball, nobody's around you, there's space to move and pass, and you go for a 40-yard transition ball. Saw numerous players did it yesterday. You get near the edge of the box, there's a simple pass, there's a cross into the box, and you go for the shot. It's a hero ball. And there's too many players like that. We don't have a team ethic at that football club. I can't understand enough. Like, you know, I know it's a bit of a gimmick and a bit of a laugh, and obviously it's not been in, we've not used it for a while, but there used to be this whole Goldbridge ball thing when I used to do like the coaching and stuff. But look, that was a gimmick. It was a laugh. It's not real. But the principles of it is that the ball does the work. As a team, you're only as strong as your weakest link. You move the ball. There's always a pass. You're always there to support. If someone's got the ball, find an angle. Like, you know, the ball is the thing doing the work. You're facilitating it. At United, it's completely the opposite. And anybody with any level of football knowledge knows that. Like, we don't make the ball do the work. They're like magnets. I want the ball. I want to be the hero. There's, you know, there's things we do that just don't make sense to me. Like, I'll see Man United player in space in the centre circle, and I'll see three passes that are progressive passes. I never want to pass backwards, and I don't want to do that. Sometimes you have to do that, but I never want to do that. And I'll see a United player with the ball, and then have three forward passes on within 10 metres of them. And I'm like, you play that pass, then you move, and you might receive it back, and you're moving closer towards the goal. Like, if anyone likes American football, NFL, you know, it's about moving the ball forward, isn't it? That's what football should be. But I'll see a player in that position with three or four passes that are simple and move the ball forward. And then they'll go for the fifth pass, which is a 40-yard pass with about a 10% chance of it actually hitting the player. That, to me, is just crazy. And I don't think Ten Hag or Ruben Amorim wants them to do it. But it goes back to the toothpaste and the toothbrush. It's so ingrained in them, they can't stop it. They just can't stop it. I think they're beyond coaching, some of them. And some people don't understand that. But in any walk of life, in any job, some people are beyond coaching. Like, it's not just football. You could run a bar, advertise for a bar person, somebody comes in, and after an hour of teaching them, you know, drink combinations, how to pour a pint, you'll realize they can't do it. And then you get someone else in and they can do it. Some people are not coachable. And I think some of our players have gone beyond it. They just do not suit high-end modern football. They'd be better off going having careers lower down the league because they just don't have it in their heads. And look, I don't want to talk about the DeLow thing again. It's not fair, but that's not coachable. Nobody's told him not to put that cross in. Nobody. That's not, they haven't practiced that in Carrington and gone, DeLow, you know, we're in that position there. 99 out of 100 people will put the cross in. We want you to be the one person that doesn't. We want you to not do it and play a crap cutback. Nobody's told him to do that. He's told himself to do that. And some of these players are just not coachable. And I tell you what, if you are trying to build something and the people that are building it for you can't do it, you won't build it. So we go back to the system and the formation again. The criticism of Amorim is incredible. When I know what he's trying to build, you know what he's trying to build, but I know he can't build it. And that's the problem. He has to be given the players who can do it, because he definitely coached a win last night, but the players masterminded a draw. Good comments. Let me have a look. What else? What scares? Sorry, someone's scared here. And Michael says, what scares about me about Amorim's future are, if Amorim gets players, will they be his first or second or fifth or sixth choice? Will they be in for pre-season? And how many players can we sell that we don't need? Says Michael. Well, I, and Dan says, why would cash from selling be used on new players? I wouldn't trust the ownership. Good point. They can't think two or three moves ahead when passing either, says Garfield. No, yeah, there's no 100%. There's no strategy. There's no build up. I mean, this is a great point. Like, it's high end things. I very rarely seen this, and I certainly never did it at any level I played at. But at the highest level, you go and play football with your mates on a Saturday afternoon or five-a-side, you're not doing this. And United aren't doing this. But you know, Man City and Liverpool and people like that, they are working on structures four or five ahead. So a pass from John Stones, they'll actually be working on a move that gets it to Haaland to have a shot. They'll have played three or four moves ahead. It's a bit like when you play chess. You don't do that. I don't do that. We don't do that. Like, that's high-end football. That's like, that's what they do. Their systems are built on, if we do this, this and this, it will lead to this. Man United definitely don't do that. You can't do that with those players because they can't do the simple things. But top teams do that. They do. Just going back to what Germ, about fear of the summer transfer window. Well, we spoke about this a couple of days ago. Man United never get their players in for pre-season. So we always start the season badly. Look at Arne Slot with Liverpool. Didn't have any transfers, knew the players he was working with from the start of July. Look at the season Liverpool have had with Arne Slot when he's been working with his players from the start of July. Look at where they are now. He didn't get any transfers, but in a way, that was a positive because he hasn't got to bed anybody in. He got his players at the start of July. This is the system. Let's get to work and look at the rewards. Manchester United, for the last few years, start of September, end of August, we're getting players in, no pre-season. So will that change? It needs to change. You need your players as early as possible to teach them the system and teach them the players and teammates. Somebody said this a couple of days ago, and it's absolutely correct. Are we set up to bring players in early? No. No, we're not. We're broke. The new financial year doesn't start till July the 1st. So that's June gone. And also, we need to sell to buy. And people know we need to sell to buy. So I don't think there's going to be a queue of clubs in June going, here we go, here's good money for Mainoo. Here's good money for Rashford. They're going to take us into July. Take us into July. Look at what happened with Dalot and Mazraoui. Didn't do that late because we were waiting to sell Wan-Bissaka. Look at what happened with Ugarte. Didn't do that until we were sold McTominay. So I don't see, and it's a great point, I don't see us, whatever we buy and whatever we sell, I don't think we're going to have a good pre-season because I don't see how we'll get the players in early enough when we're broke and everyone knows we're broke and therefore we're going to get negotiated into the back end of July and August. I mean, I'd like to be wrong on that, but when are we ever wrong on that? I don't like the players, says Anthony. I don't like the owners, and I'm on the brink of not liking Amrim. I can't watch us. It's like being in a relationship that's over, but you're hoping it'll get better. Well, I like Amrim, Anthony. Do you think there will be any positives of this Sunday with the fans, or will the media spin the agenda, says HB? Look, I don't know. I think it's... I wouldn't sweat this protest and everything too much. The most important thing is that everybody is behind one thing. And how you do that, we don't know how many people are going to be there. We don't know what impact it's going to have on the game. We don't know whether there's going to be more. We don't know how United are going to react to it. But I wouldn't sweat it. Let's just see what happens with it. But it's better than doing nothing, isn't it? And, you know, it might be the start of more. I mean, if we get knocked out of Europe on Thursday... there's going to be a lot more angry Man United fans, aren't they? As Mini Brew says, it's a start. It's a start. And I think it's always very important with this is that you take a deep breath and you look at the people who have organised this and you back them. However you can. It's not about they should do this, they shouldn't do that. Like, they've organised this like they've done it before. And I think as Manchester United fans, if you are a Manchester United fan, then you should be backing it, promoting it, and doing what you can wherever you are, and not be critical of it. Because what is not without doubt, and I'm sure Ineos are the same, the Glazers do their very best to make us argue with each other. The Glazers have literally got access to accounts and aggregators who won't say anything about the protests because, you know, why do we argue with each other? Because somebody mysteriously will go, oh, have you seen what they've done? Who do you think starts the fires? Who benefits the most from Man United fan groups arguing? It's not us. It's not the 58. It's not Must. It's not the Red Army. It's not whatever website the Glazers do. Divide and conquer. That's it, Matthew Gartell. Positive first steps is HP. And Nishant says, if we can get multiple games cancelled and get points deduction because of it, we might drop in the relegation zone. Will that rattle the Glazers? We're not getting relegated, mate. I mean, you look at Ipswich and Leicester. We could stand still now and they still won't get the points we've got. We're not getting relegated. That's just not happening. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Don't forget to get your tickets for the Dublin show. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Danny from The Scripts confirmed that he's going to be there. Hopefully going to get a few songs from him as well. Big Man United fan. I'm putting together a fusion quiz show interactively to get some people up and win cash prizes that you can get involved in the audience as well. So it's going to be a great night in Dublin, Wednesday the 19th of March. Get your tickets while you can. Fantastic venue. And also, just as well as that, I knew there was something else. Don't forget our morning show and match reactions are now on Spotify. So you can go on Spotify, the United Stand podcast, listen to it. So if you missed the start of the show today, or you know, you want to just go out for a walk and watch the second half or something like that, or listen to the match reaction from last night on a walk. They're all on there from the week, and you can listen to them. They go up pretty quickly after this is finished, so in about 10 minutes. Thanks everyone for watching, but the match reaction is already there. Speak to you all in a bit. We've got, talking about reaction, we've got reaction to Amram's Arsenal press conference at lunchtime, and then I'm back with you 8 o'clock as well. Speak to you all in a bit. Take care.